Join the conversation. Join the conversation on Cape Talk.
All right. Now, as I say, I'm going to be chatting to Anne Bernstein. Anne Bernstein has had some very firm views, as I mentioned. The Daily Maverick article that she wrote, Ramaphosa Dithers While Rome Burns and Decisive Action is Needed Now. She released that at the beginning of the week, and a very interesting piece. You should check it out if you haven't already. An op-ed that she wrote there. Really, I'm trying to hold accountability, which is what we tried to do on this show. We're going to find out from her if she feels as though that was met by yesterday's State of the Nation address. But first, I do want to highlight, particularly in light of many of yours, cynicism that's coming through on the WhatsApps here. There seems to be at least an acknowledgement that government cannot go this alone. Have a listen to what the president said about the role of private sector.
As we work to fix the capabilities of the state, we know that growth and job creation will in large measure be driven by the private sector. We are therefore building an operating environment that is favorable to doing business. Working together with our social partners, we have continued to address several issues that have been barriers to job creation. Some of those issues are issues such as water use licenses, which are so essential to operations on farms, in factories, in mines, and these have previously taken an inordinately long time to process. Sometimes some corporations have waited up to 3 to 5 years just to get water use licenses. We are now able to announce that water use licenses will now be issued within 90 days instead of 3 years. It also used to take months to have a company registered. Through the BizPort platform, one can now register a company in 1 day, register for UIF and SARS, and even open bank account.
We'll be testing that. Let's turn our attention to our discussion with Anne Bernstein. Welcome to Breakfast with Refilo. It's such a pleasure to have you on air.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Indeed. Okay, good morning. So, Anne, just give me your initial take, I suppose, of the SONA. Your article, as I mentioned earlier this week, was very firm and I think very clear, as clear as I think most South Africans are, in terms of really being fed up with a lack of drive, a lack of vision, and a lack of direction. Did you get any comfort from the SONA yesterday?
Look, I think first thing we must say is the president's in a difficult situation. Not only the divisions within his party, but he has a broken state, very weak and not working well. So I thought this was a much better speech in its construction than we had last year, both speeches last year. So that's one thing. Was it bold enough? In my view, not. I don't think this is going to get us to on the road to faster growth, which is absolutely vital to deal with unemployment. Yes, there's some good things announced about Eskom. I mean, the country's on its knees, and so they have moved on opening up for private providers and even municipalities with capacity to get more generation. That's good. It would have been better if we'd had some very tight timelines. So that was good, I thought. There were some very strange things, personally. I think a sovereign wealth fund and a state bank, you know, when we don't have any money, is a very odd thing to do. Don't understand that. I don't understand this fascination and determination to have a new smart city.
Very strange.
Little detail about that.
Mm.
350,000 people, but I'm interested in the millions of people who or in our metropolitan areas in particular, which are the real hubs of our economy, and we need to do much more about that, but no mention about urban policy or how we're going to fix a number of things in the cities.
Well, and also, I was just going to say, you make a good point. I mean, probably not enough attention on the crumbling of local government across the board.
Well, exactly. Look, he did mention PRASA, absolutely vital. The key question is, the key challenge is twofold. The one is, how do I believe that the state that doesn't work very well is going to be able to implement the money he says he's going to spend on PRASA? Absolutely vital priority for commuters and for, you know, the functioning of our cities and people's lives. So there's at least a recognition, but I don't feel very confident in how this is going to be done, and there was no detail about that.
And also, the problem with PRASA is not money. So we're grateful for the $1.4 billion, but it's been mentioned even by the Minister of Transport himself that it's these internal forces, and it's a political solution that needs to be found in terms of the constant vandalism.
We've spent billions on PRASA in the last 10 years, and we have fewer services and fewer people able to get on a train.
Quite right.
So I didn't feel that was on. So the whole issue of what do we do, difficult question, when the state isn't working, when it's corrupt, and in not just the big state capture, which it would be nice to see some people in orange overalls, but the kind of, I don't know what to call it, the widespread corruption that we know is taking place in institutions like PRASA and local authorities all over the country and many departments. So I didn't get a feeling of enough urgency on that. He says he's going to have these discussions with the cabinet ministers by the end of the month. Why has it taken so long?
Really? What have they been doing?
You know, these kind of performance management things. I hope he'll talk to the Minister of Health, who appointed his niece to an important job the other day, and other cabinet ministers who've continued the patronage that is part of the corruption and the problem in the state.
Well, this is the thing. He appeals to Treasury and SARB, but it's actually the departments that are not implementing, even if they did have sort of tighter budgets.
Well, it's the whole... Exactly. So a lot of questions unanswered about state capacity and dealing with corruption and cadre deployment, and how do we get to a situation where we get senior appointments in the civil service are made with people who really can do the job, whoever they are, that they people with the experience, the expertise, and the commitment to serve the nation and really strive every sinew to do the job. So I didn't get that.
Turning back to the clip that we opened with, the turning to private enterprise, I think the speech in general had a greater deal of shared accountability in terms of constantly talking about partners, strategic partners, social partners, social cohesion, social compact, which in a sense is maybe answering the question that you're asking, which is how do we get moving with an incapable state? It seems as though the president is turning and saying, well, you're going to help us. Is that good enough? That a party that has promised 2 million jobs back then a couple of years ago turns around and says, well, clearly it has to be our private sector that creates the jobs.
So look, the president has said this since he's been elected, that he wants social compacts, never defined very clearly, and there's a lot of talk and rhetoric about this. I'm a lot more in favor of leadership and not using social compacts to avoid leadership decisions.
Correct.
I'm in favor of, you know, appropriate roles for the private actors, any other actors outside the state, and also the state's role. But we never quite get to clarity on all of this. So there's all this talk, and you're absolutely right, kind of like it's joint responsibility, when often I don't think it is. And then there's lack of clarity on some other things. So I think there's still a kind of attachment to state-led development, even as the state crumbles around us.
Very much so.
I don't think it's an ideological issue. It's just this state isn't competent for the foreseeable future to do the basic job, never mind any additional jobs. And then I don't think we're seeing sufficient freeing up of the market, competitive market forces to do what they can do and what kind of minimal regulations we need. We still have far too many regulations that hold back private sector development and investment.
Okay, so those licenses, water use licenses, and those kind of interventions, biz portal, not enough.
They're good, but not nearly enough. Not nearly enough. And then there's this, you know, I don't think there's sufficient appreciation that we need a complete new mindset about the role of the private sector and business in our society, and that You know, he says nice things, but then it's contradicted. So it's not quite clear where the government is about the role of the private sector and how we can free it up to actually get growth going. We're sitting with declining growth, which is almost stagnant.
So ahead of the finance minister's budget speech on the 25th, as a participant in the private sector, can you hang your hat on any of what we heard yesterday in terms of if you were holding out a cash pile?
I don't think there was enough. I think obviously electricity is absolutely vital, but not clear, good movement, but about time, and we need some deadlines.
Indeed.
I think there was this comment that he supports this Ministry of Finances towards a new economic strategy, but why don't we get a lot more about that? Surely growth is the most fundamental issue. He says that, but then he didn't spend time on the growth. What are the obstacles to growth that need to be got right? So a lot is riding on what the Ministry of Finance does, and can they really stop the ever-increasing state expenditure, particularly with public sector wages, and in a very difficult time. So why have we got these new projects when we don't have money for that? And then I thought, I'm pleased he's focusing on youth unemployment. Again, there's a credibility issue. The Jobs Summit in 2018 promised, foolishly in my view, 275,000 new jobs in a year. Well, we lost a lot of jobs in that year and the next year. We need reforms. So I'm not opposed to some of these things, but
difficult to implement without a shift.
We have to get faster growth and much more labor-intensive growth. So earlier in the week he talked about labor-intensive activities, but there wasn't anything in last night's speech in the same vein. So I don't know what's meant there.
Thank you so much, Anne Bernstein, for your view there. Anne is the Executive Director of the CDE. Stay tuned. We'll be turning over to the Binge Club after this.